Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:18 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 26th. This has been a really quite positive day into the close for a lot of these US indices. We've seen that the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq are all up in excess of 2%, S&P nearly over 3.5%, and the Nasdaq over 4.5%. So really quite positive action, and that's followed through with Canada, Mexico, Brazil. So right across the Americas, really quite positive action. But it's been quite a volatile day, and we've seen trading both ways, and you've seen Europe closing down for the most part. And it was a fairly mixed day. In Asia, you had the Hang Seng up over 3.5%. Fairly muted response in China to the fact that they cut interest rates by a full 1% and that they lowered the reserve requirements for their big banks by 1% and their small banks by 2%. So that is certainly an indication that the Chinese are doing whatever they can to help to restore confidence in the economy, to spur growth, and they are sending a clear signal that they're willing to cut even further and ease up on the tightening measures that they had been implementing for much of 2007 and a good part of early 2008. So they have plenty of room to cut interest rates. They have plenty of room to spend that vast amount of cash that they have at the sidelines, and they have plenty of room to loosen the regulations that they've been tightening, not only on the financial sector but all on the pro also on the property markets. So that is certainly an interesting development. And since the stock market, I think, was closed when all of this was announced, it will be interesting to see how it performs tomorrow. And of course, the potential for it to perform quite well was boosted by the positive performance that we have on Wall Street today. And this is 4 straight days on the upside for some of these, for the S&P and the Dow. And that's one of the longest winning streaks we've seen since May, which is also an indication, of course, of just how much these indices have fallen. But on the S&P, this is now starting to look like a failed downside break, which would leave the potential open for this index to rally back towards the 1,000 level in the coming weeks before the question is asked once more as to will it or won't it break upwards. That was very much the case the last time it went back and looked at that 1,000 level. The same for the Dow, where it encountered resistance below 10,000. And it is looking increasingly likely that we're going to see these indices move back towards those levels over the coming weeks, because these are looking like failed downside breaks. And a rule of thumb from the chart seminar is if the dynamics that pull you back into the range following the breakout from the range are greater, then there is an increased chance you're going to go back and test the other side of that range. So it wouldn't be at all surprising to see the S&P moving back up towards that 1,000 level in the coming days, and of course that would be broadly supportive of other stock markets. But what we also have to bear in mind is that the interlocations, or the interaction between so all of these different asset classes, has become so much more important over the course of this credit slash solvency crisis, that we really do need to be looking at other asset classes. So the dollar continues to or remains up around that high 80s level for the dollar index. It's at 85.66 right now, so it's up a bit in here today off the highs, but that's following 2 big down days. And what we've seen with this uptrend is that it broke and surged upwards once it broke above 74. I think rallied faster and farther than just about anyone had anticipated, and encountered resistance around that 88 level. It's been losing momentum since. It's had a couple of failed upside breaks, and now we're starting to see downward dynamics in the opposite direction. Those are the conditions that are ripe for a type 2 ending to this medium-term trend. And if that is correct, Even if we do see this market rallying back up to test those levels, we should expect another failed upside break, and it would then appear to be only a matter of time before we get a big reaction against this prevailing uptrend, which would be a catalyst to support so many other markets that have been put under such enormous pressure by this rally in the dollar, rally in the yen. And of course, we also have an incredibly strong rally in some of these government bond prices. We see that the 30-year is back up towards that 128 level again today. 3-month yields in the USA are yielding nothing right now. And that's not an aphorism. They're yielding next to 0%. That is a very interesting type of scenario because what it indicates to us is that investors right now have faith in no other asset class. And that's going to be very interesting to watch because when those yields start to move back up from 0%, that would be an indication that demand for bonds is declining, which means that people are putting their money into something else. So that will also be an indication for us that something is changing here. And let's not forget the corporate bond markets, because while you have AAA rated corporate bonds, such as industrials or utilities, telephones, all to a greater or lesser extent losing some momentum up here, they're still at record wide spreads to treasuries. And if you move just a little bit further down the rating scale and you look at single A or treble B, then those spreads continue to expand. And you're getting into extremely interesting territory here because I think that while people are extremely cautious about buying debt in here because of the risk of default following that big surprise from the government allowing Lehman Brothers to go the way of the dodo, then people are really thinking that this could happen to other companies. But let's be serious about it and really look at this. If we can really start to look at companies themselves and examine their balance sheets rather than what the credit default swaps on those companies cost, we can come up with conclusions that are widely there's a wide disparity between that type of conclusion and what we're seeing with the way these markets are being priced right now. Liquidity has completely deserted this market, so its price discovery is really quite difficult. However, you look at some of these companies and the strong cash flows that they have coming in, their risk of default on their senior debt, forget about the subordinated debt, but their senior debt, it's really quite unlikely that we're going to see a broad range of these companies go bankrupt. You're definitely going to get some of them going bankrupt, but the risk of them all going bankrupt is extremely low, which means that for people willing to do the fundamental analysis and look at the balance sheets of these companies and examine their cash flows, there are bargains to be found out here. That's so obvious in the credit markets, and of course, because these markets are trading extremely like equities right now, there are also bargains to be found in the equity markets because so many good companies have been sold down aggressively in this type of scenario. Going forward, because liquidity is so tight, and even though we have the TED spread and the OIS spread and the VIX all coming down from those highs today, then we have conditions where the liquidity in the market is very tight, and there is a broad acceptance, or the accepted knowledge out there is that that's going to remain the case for a while. And when something is that accepted, we have to start questioning it. So liquidity is tight right now. It probably won't be a year from now nearly as tight as it is today. That means that companies who have cash in hand have strong cash flows coming in, rather than companies that depend on cheap financing to support their business models. Well, those companies with cash are in a massively strong competitive advantage here. And if we see that those companies are also trading at discounts or are trading at low PEs are underperforming the markets, then people who are willing to do that type of analysis will also find bargains here. So certainly we are looking at enormously volatile trading, and with the kind of move that we're seeing, for example, just in the S&P alone, where the current range is moving swiftly, as in 1 week up and 1 week down, or 2 weeks up and 2 weeks down, between 800 and 1,000, and that's give or take a 20%, 25% range, depending on which way you look at it, then that's very difficult to trade as an investor because it's very difficult to place stops. And it leaves us in a position that to trade this market, we have to anticipate, in which case we need to buy on the reactions and begin to start letting out positions as the obvious area of potential resistance is approached. And for veteran subscribers, we call that baby steps trading at Fuller Money. And if you type baby steps into the forum search or search for baby steps, you'll find David's article on it, which is probably well worth reviewing in view of the fact that we are approaching, potentially approaching an area where there's base formation development going on. It could already be going on, but we can't say that for absolutely certain, and we won't be able to say that for certain for quite a long time yet. But it is certainly time to start thinking about how to make money from a market which is volatile, which is potentially basing, and could be in a boring ranging phase for longer than people anticipate, because there is certainly a degree of support building needs to take place before investors who have been burned both financially and emotionally are willing to come back into this market aggressively. So certainly something to bear in mind. This was also a day which we where we saw some reasonably volatile action in the oil market. It finished up almost $4 and has been trading in positive territory most of the day, but has been really up and down quite a lot. We also saw that the majority of the industrial metals were firmer in here. Now, we're also seeing that the sentiment towards industrial metals and commodities generally is extremely bearish. But we've also identified that the dollar is a catalyst, and if it is actually topping out, then, excuse me, that is also going to be positive for the commodity sector. But you also look at some of these commodities that have pulled back and are beginning to find support. The grains have found at least short-term support by and large, and while certainly there is no confidence in saying that they have bottomed, they've certainly stopped going down at the rate that they were falling. We see that cocoa has found support, as has sugar, and we see that zinc has been going sideways for a couple of months and is looking more positive, as is lead. And there is certainly more cause for keeping an eye on that sector rather than dismissing it entirely, because that dollar could be an extremely powerful catalyst for a number of those commodities. And the very fact that I think there was a report, I think it was in MineWeb yesterday or today, and quoting Evy Hambro, who is the manager of the World Mining Fund, and saying that he was anticipating that commodities were going to be a very dull place for the next 2 to 3 years. And when you have someone who has been so remarkably bullish, turning so losing their confidence in the market so to such an extent, then there is certainly cause to keep an eye on it, because we do know that there is that potential catalyst in the background. And of course, that when we do see the dollar topping out emphatically, then, and it is still quite a tentative call, then we are going to be spoiled for choice with markets that are going to perform on the upside. And looking at these government bond prices, they're extremely high up here, and anyone thinking about buying a 30-year bond and holding it for a long time is going to be very disappointed with these yields. So it is certainly an indication that it is a flight to cash, and with that incredible amount of cash on the sidelines, it would appear to be only a matter of time before people start to move into other asset classes in search of a better return, because you simply can't hold an instrument that is yielding absolutely nothing. Because even though we're afraid of deflation right now, it is unlikely, given the stimulative packages that are being unleashed by just about every single government in the world, that this isn't going to lead to some powerful inflation a couple of years down the line. And at that point, government bonds at these prices are going to be a dream for anyone who was bullish. So this does appear to be really only a very short-term move to the upside. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.